Welcome to Bergonomics, demystifying economics with Ross McDowell.
I'm Ross McDowell, and welcome to a special edition of Bergonomics, the podcast that demystifies economics. Coming to you from 65 Martin Place in Sydney, the headquarters of Australia's central bank, the Reserve Bank of Australia. Every Australian standard of living is dependent upon economists. Economists work globally to alleviate poverty, sickness, and famines. Economists are the people who will make the greatest contribution to achieving net zero. Economists work alongside generals in fighting wars, not with guns and casualties, but with sanctions. Many of the most powerful positions in Australia require economics. Our Treasurer, the Governor of the Reserve Bank, the Head of Treasury, and many of Australia's financial regulators. Economics is one of, if not the, number one force in the world. So why aren't younger people flocking to become economists and change the world for the better? Today, I'm joined by two Reserve Bank economists, Tanya Livermore and Mike Major. Last year, Tanya and Mike conducted research into, to put it bluntly, why the number of students studying economics has dropped off a cliff. Tanya and Mike, welcome to Bergonomics.
Thank you.
Thank you, Russ.
Now, please explain what prompted you to survey 4,800 students' attitudes towards studying economics. What were your core findings?
Yeah, so in terms of the motivation, basically we wanted to find out why students aren't studying economics and why the diversity amongst the student body has declined so dramatically. The backdrop to this is that since the early 1990s, the economics enrolments in Year 12 has fallen across the country by around 70%. And back in the early 1990s, economics was the third most popular Year 12 subject, whereas now it's well down the list. At the same time, the diversity amongst the pool of students that are studying economics has declined. Again, in the early 1990s, we would see an equal number of boys and girls in a Year 12 economics class, whereas now we see two males for every one female student. And we've also seen a decline in terms of the proportion of students that are from regional parts of Australia and those from lower socioeconomic backgrounds. So that's the backdrop, and we thought that we wanted to ask the students themselves what they think about economics. Because we had been speaking to teachers for some time, we'd heard from teachers that students perceived economics as being difficult, uninteresting, and not relevant. But we wanted to go straight to the source and ask the students what they think about when they're choosing their subjects. And to be able to do this in a rigorous way, we wanted to do a big, large representative survey so that we could have the data that we needed to actually answer these questions conclusively.
And what conclusions did you come up with?
Well, there were a lot of results in there, but I think the big general take from it was that economics as a discipline was perceived as pretty positively by the students. But if you looked at it as a subject that students actually wanted to study, they tended to find it uninteresting, they found it hard to relate to, and they didn't often know what it was about. So, you know, some of the results that we got from the study was asking students about economics, and they would say things like, it's a risk to study because they don't know what it's about. Or they would say that business studies is an easier subject, it's a more relatable subject, it's more useful for careers down the track. And so what we find here is that economics has an image problem where it's misunderstood, it's perceived to be very narrow. And so what we took from that is that we need to work on how to make it more relatable for students and to sort of unravel what economics is really about, because often it's perceived to be very narrow.
Okay, in my discussions with some younger people and student counsellors, they've brought up a few points about why they believe students are shying away from economics from their end, which is that if you need to get a high score to achieve what tertiary institution you want to get into, economics, for the given amount of effort, isn't going to yield you the benefit of score. To give you a good analogy, if I want to do a triathlon, most triathletes prefer to spend time training on the bike rather than swimming, because they're going to make up more time for every given hour of training on a bike, so they'll get a much, you know, quicker race. Same with sort of economics. Why go into economics with all what's involved, the maths, etc.? They're going to achieve a higher score if they put the same amount of study time into another humanity or whatever. Did you find that may have been one of the reasons?
So I think when it comes to the level of maths and what's required to do economics, I think there's two ways to think about it. I think the first part is that in the high school economics, like I did both business studies and economics mm-hmm. when I was at school, mm-hmm. and I found that the level of maths required was quite similar between the two. But that when we asked the students in the survey, they tended to perceive business studies to be more interesting, more relevant for them. And I think this comes back to the second sort of message about this, which is that economics later on, if you take it into university and beyond into further study, there are definitely channels in there that require a lot of maths.
Yeah.
There are also channels that don't. Like, for example, when I was at university, my area that I began was in blood donations, and it was looking at the economics of blood donations, which didn't require much maths, and something that I didn't really understand at the time that you could do something like that in economics. And it's something that I found out much later. I think for us thinking about how to promote economics going forward, I think we need to have that come earlier, so that the students can see the benefit of economics much earlier on, that it isn't this narrow maths field, that actually you can use it for things like climate change, you can use it for things like all our problems in the future, like poverty, you can use it for blood donations.
Sure, and we'll get to some of those things. So you found a 70% decline over 30 years and a much, much greater decline amongst women.
Mm-hmm.
Why the decline amongst women?
That's a really important question and was really big motivation for this research. One of the factors comes down to perceptions. So there's a perception, as we've said, amongst all students that economics is quite narrow, that it's not necessarily that interesting. And I think this is particularly applies for, in our survey, the female students. One of the factors is that students in our survey were asked what were the top topics that they were interested in. And the girls were much more likely to say identifying problems, and the boys were much more likely to say the share market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also know that economics is perceived in the general view as being something that's more about, say, share markets would be the narrow interpretation of economics,
mm-hmm.
whereas actually, in fact, economics is the study of choice. It is at the essence the types of things that girls are interested in doing and studying and learning about, but there's a misperception about what economics is. So I think that's one factor. Another factor that's come out in our research is around confidence. So there is a confidence gap in that we have seen girls underrate their confidence with studying economics, whereas actually their proficiency in economics from some other research that our colleagues have done is equal to the boys in their classrooms. And that confidence factor seems to be one of the reasons why girls are not choosing economics at the same rate as boys. And some of this may come down to role modelling effects, which we've talked about in other research about how, say, for example, having a female teacher actually helps to reduce that confidence gap. It doesn't eliminate it completely, but it suggests that there are ways in which role models can actually help lift that confidence of girls that they can go on and study economics. So these are kind of two of the factors.
So, I mean, if I think about the governor of your organisation, has there ever been a female governor of the Reserve Bank?
No, not that I know of, but I would say that we have a lot of women in leadership in economics. And so if I can give some examples, like here in the Reserve Bank, our Deputy Governor, Michelle Bullock, our Chief Economist, Lucy Ellis, and if we look at other institutions like Treasury, we have the Deputy Secretary for the Fiscal Group being Jenny Wilkinson. I know you've had on your podcast Cheryl Murphy, the Chief Economist of Ernst & Young. And we look overseas, the Chair of the US Federal Reserve Board was Janet Yellen for a number of years there. So there are female economist role models that we can point to. And I think it's really important for young students to be able to see these women to raise the profile and have that voice out there to be seen as, I can see this person as an economist, and therefore I feel like I can be in that role too one day.
But it's pretty hard to do that if you've given me some fantastic economists there, that they all report to a male.
I think there's some, so I think the example of Janet Yellen, she was the head of the Federal Reserve, which is the equivalent of the RBA overseas. But I think this is an area that we need progress in. We need to have lots more women in these roles.
So we've never had a female treasurer. We've never had a head of treasury that's a female. We've never had a female who's the head of the Productivity Commission. We've never had a female head of APRA or any of the other regulators that are economically whatever out there. And so you're talking about role models. We haven't got at the top of the tree the role models to instill the confidence that your survey pointed out that young women are lacking confidence in. Is this an urgent thing that we need to address?
I think if we go a little bit more to the approach the Reserve Bank's education program has taken with this is to try to make change at the grassroots level. So we view it very much as a pipeline. And obviously things like changing diversity is something that happens, takes time. But by us really looking at what can we do at those earlier years of high school when girls are being exposed to the various subjects that they might go on and study, we really want to make sure that girls and boys equally are exposed to economics and that they can then choose to study it knowing with full information what it involves. So for example, even if we go earlier than year 11 or 12 economics, we've been particularly interested in what we can do in the year 9 and 10 commerce space, where there is a fairly equal mix of boys and girls that choose commerce, which shows that there is that initial broad interest in those types of subjects. And by being exposed to economics as part of commerce, you might then be more confident to choose economics in year 11 or 12. And then by doing it in year 11 or 12, we've also seen in other research done by our colleague, Gigi Lovacu, that the more by studying economics in year 12, you're more likely to then choose it at university. And then obviously, if you're choosing it at university, you're much more likely to go on and become an economist. So I see it as a pipeline thing.
Big lag. There's going to be a lag there.
There's a lag.
A long time. Okay.
We know as economists, sometimes these things do come with a lag. But you have to start somewhere along the pipeline.
Okay. Let's go back to the fundamental core finding. 70% decline in 30 years. Now, if I get my old-fashioned 12-inch school wooden ruler out and I draw an x-axis and a y-axis and I chart your research, and then I get my ruler and I try and pop it in the middle of all those dots that I've drawn over those 30 years, at some stage that ruler is gonna cross the horizontal axis, which is zero. So I could predict on your research basically in what year there will be zero people wanting to study economics at secondary school. But you and I know that's never going to be the case. Why?
So I think there's a few reasons why this is not the case, but it is something, it still speaks to the urgency of it. But it is the case that, you know, as you have less economists, or less people studying like economics, things adjust. If we really have a shortage of economists, you might have a scenario where the roles might, people are really in demand for them, they might need to charge a higher price for these economists. But I think the bigger problem with this is that you might have the wrong mix of people who take on those roles. And so for us, the big thing that comes out of our research is that to have the diversity that we need to make good decisions, we need to make sure we're incentivizing the representative group of people to study economics. So, you know, we can see research that looks into diversity mixes, and you see that teams that tend to have a better gender mix tend to lead to better sales and profits.
Okay, so what you're saying there is we need to have more people to prevent that from occurring. So you're saying increase the diversity, get a whole lot of people in, bulk up the number of people that are studying economics, because if we don't, we are going to hit that horizontal axis.
Yeah, I think the fact that we've had such a big decline in economics does mean that there's something that's happening that we need to try and mend. And I think what our research is speaking to is that a lot of it comes back to the understanding of what economics is about. And I think we're very often quite narrow in what we think it is.
Yep.
And I think seeing those statistics, which are very worrying, it means we need to do something very early on to try and help people understand what it's about. And I think it's not just about becoming an economist too. I think it's also about doing economics, say in high school, early on. Mm-hmm. It's not just for those that want to go on to do economics. It's actually useful for everyday life. Like, okay. Economics is about the study of choice, about making decisions, about anything that you do in your life, you have to make a choice, and economics is a framework. It gives you a framework to do those.
Okay.
So having people do it even in high school would be a very useful thing for their future. It gives them a chance to get a seat at the table for anything talking about in the news, understand the news. And so I think those statistics that we've been talking about are worrying, and it means we do need to start at an early point to try and get them to know what economics is about and how it can be relevant for them, for their careers and their lives.
Okay, so if we look at the fact that we've got this urgent problem that we're going to run out of economists unless we get a whole lot of, you call it diversity, I just call it a whole lot more heads at school wanting to do economics, we're going to have a problem. I'd say we've already got a problem, because if I think about what I've personally lived through, 15.4% inflation in 1974, 11.2% unemployment in 1992, and I personally did pay 17.7% on my mortgage in 1990. And you need to be 69 years of age at the moment, if you're an economist, to have practical experience with each of those levels of economic situations, unemployment, inflation and rates. Yet, at the moment, most economists, high unemployment, high inflation and high interest rates, of which we don't have at the moment, they're all textbook theories. No one's lived through them. So a lot of the people that I speak to, if you talk to them about unemployment, to them it's academic. They can't relate to unemployment. And I'm speaking to someone recently about what 11.2% unemployment is. I asked them and they said, well, it's 11.2% unemployment, Ross. You know, it's like, you know, it's a very high level of unemployment. And I said, well, actually, it's what it is you walk down maybe a medium or a lower socioeconomic street, maybe there's 100 houses, and more than 10 of those households are going to have someone in there that's not employed, and the predominant feeling in that household is fear, which is a horrible social situation. But we've got a whole lot of economists now that can't relate to that horrible feeling of fear that was in Australian society. So I think our problem is ultra urgent, because not only have we got economists now that can't relate to the social side of economics, we've got no one wanting to even study it. Do you think that people realise generally that it could be that serious?
I think there's a few things that you've touched on there. I think one is that, I mean, obviously that's why we want to learn about economics and about economic history,
mm-hmm.
is that we need the textbooks, we need the economists who have been in the field for a very long time to have that real lived experience that they can, you know, couple with their technical expertise. And I know in this building there are people who I would point to who have lived through many of those major economic contractions, massive changes in economic policy, and their actual experience is so valuable for the young economists like us who have come through the ranks and can learn from them and their experience, as well as what we read in the textbooks. I would also say that, you know, if we look at the macro economy, the things you're talking about are very much those things that people think about when they think about economics, you know, your unemployment, your inflation, those macroeconomic indicators. But really, economics is so much broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're talking about things like, you know, young people who might not have experienced very high rates of unemployment and might not have experienced fear around that, I would argue that they're experiencing fear around things that are other types of economic problems,
mm-hmm.
that are equally as concerning and prominent in the forefront of their minds. So if we think about things like climate change, for example,
yep.
that is a environmental concern, but it is also an economic problem. And just anecdotally, I've heard that, you know, young people are in a lot of anxiety about what is going to happen with the climate, what are we going to see in the future, and what can I do about that? And so the more that we can, I guess, teach young people that this is something that economics can help with to solve.
Hey, look, why do we need to teach them? Why aren't they bashing down the door to say, I want to become an economist because climate change is an incredibly important issue, and if I study economics, I can have a positive effect?
I would say they don't know that economics does have a voice in climate change, would be what I would
I think. I think like the survey that we conducted, you know, it's interesting that people, like the students, think that there's a wide range of careers out there for economists, but then you ask them, you know, what, like, do you have a clear idea of what those careers are? And they will tend to not have an idea. And so I think it's like they understand that there are people making these big decisions about the future and having a say, but they're not so clear that that's economics is the way they get there. And that's the thing we need to kind of change, I guess. It's an image problem.
Who should change that? How do you make that connection?
So I think there's a few ways. I think the first way comes back to role models, people speaking out about how they studied economics, and as a result of studying economics, they were able to.
Let me start. Role models. I haven't heard of any young people that go, I want to grow up to be Milton Friedman. I haven't heard anybody want to say, my role model is J.P. Keynes. I hear people say, I want to be Elon Musk, but I don't hear them saying, I want to be economists. How are you going possibly to change that?
I think we need to get people who are making these decisions about the future, and for people to have that connection that why, like, often people who've done economics are the ones in leadership. And so if people want to be the ones that can be leaders, that can be the future decision makers, we need people to come out and say, you know, this is, I'm the one that makes these decisions. I need to take all this into account, but economics helped me get there.
I'd add to that as well. I think role models can be the people who are high profile in the media. Maybe it's like an Elon Musk or someone like that that everyone knows about. But it can also be at a more micro level. So, for example, like a teacher can be the key inspiration mm-hmm. why someone studies economics. For me, it was a university lecturer that really sold me on economics.
Who? Tell me.
Okay, so my lecturer, John Rogers, was a key inspiration for me.
Which university were you talking about?
So this was in my undergraduate, which was the University of Wollongong.
Yep.
I actually went there to do commerce. I didn't actually study economics at high school. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what it was. I just really hadn't been exposed to it. And in the family I grew up in, economics was not something that was discussed at the dinner table.
Didn't you have arguments with your father at the dinner table about economics?
Not about economics, probably about other things, but not about economics.
Okay.
probably about, I don't know, buying a new surfboard or something like that.
Right.
But I really got exposed to economics when I was at university,
mm-hmm.
Studying commerce, and the lecturer that I had that really inspired me taught me about things like social welfare and how do we measure the well-being of a country, what is what economists would call the social welfare function,
mm-hmm.
as to that underpins all the decisions that we would make as a society. Or how do we put value on clean air? How do you incorporate these externalities into the decision making
mm-hmm.
Of private decision makers? So he was a key role model for me. He didn't need to be a prominent, famous person, but that can be what makes the difference.
Okay. And then you went to London School of Economics.
I did.
And who's the number one role model from the London School of Economics, Tanya? Silence.
Really good question.
If I said to you, I think we need more rock star economists, would that bring anything to mind for you?
You know, it actually does. And I'm not, I think this is the route that you're going down. There was a famous rock star that was a student at the London School of Economics.
Didn't finish, though.
Did not finish.
No.
In fact, he actually, according to Wikipedia, was studying finance, so not quite economics, but he was at the LSE.
Mm.
But he chose to give up his LSE career to start a band called the Rolling Stones.
Bad decision. Didn't he be luck out there, yes?
So this was Mick Jagger, and you know, I mean, Rolling Stones, economics career is probably a hard one. But if you had to combine the two, we might have had that rock star economist that you're looking for.
Do you think if we had more Mick Jaggers, we'd get more economists?
I think it's definitely the case. You need to have people, positions and role models that are interesting as well, that people want to be, you know. And I think you could have people like that that would definitely assist with it. I think one of the things that we do at the RBA is we have the ambassador program, and we have young people come out and speak about how economics has helped them get where they are. And I think sometimes seeing young role models can also help, because it's maybe that little bit closer to where they are that they're able to say, oh, okay, these are people who are a bit younger in their career, maybe I could actually see myself being there and going there. But I think you're right. Having rock star economists, having people show you that economics is broader than it is, that it can be in all these different areas, definitely would help the field.
Golf, Tiger Woods, he studied economics. There you go.
I didn't know that. So
Kate Blanchett, she studied economics. There's a whole group of people out there that could be the role models that aren't being put out there. I'm not necessarily saying golf, rock and roll band, but there can be social change activists that study, but they're not elevated. There's no support because maybe it's a politicised process that there are people that don't see climate change in certain ways and therefore don't want to push these people. Whereas everybody loves rock and roll, well, most people love rock and roll, a lot of people like golf, and so that's more of a non-politicised aspect. So maybe that can be a bit of a problem in terms of putting these people forward. Do you think there also might be something in terms of, we have been through what I refer to as 30 years of economic nirvana, and so asset prices have gone up and up and up for 30 years. We haven't had any problems. Why do we need economists? Nothing to solve.
Yeah, I think it is true we've had 30 years of fairly stable, although there have been some big exceptions, you know, with the GFC and the pandemic we've had recently. And I think one side of that is that...
And who solved the pandemic and all? It was economists, again.
It's quite interesting. You saw a lot of people in the media who were health professionals, who were medical and related. And then there were a lot of economists too. And I think that's something that maybe will see some re-engagement in how economics is important, because it's something that you'd think it would be just purely a health-related crisis, but no, it affects everybody's livelihood. We saw we needed a lot of policy had to come in to try and help out with those sort of things, and so you see again the importance of economics in helping with these day-to-day issues that everyone has to face. And I think that's also speaks to the fact that economics is back in the press quite a lot. And I think that demonstrates that economics is something that really matters, because everyone is affected by economics. Mm-hmm. And again, if we come back to think about how can we encourage students to consider economics when they're younger, I think it needs to have that come through. And I'm not saying everyone should become an economist. I think it's more than that. I think it's economics can just help. You want people to make decisions about what they want to do, knowing what everything is about. So if someone doesn't choose economics because they don't know what it's about, I think that's an opportunity that's lost. If they know what it's about and they decide, I don't like economics, I prefer science or I prefer arts, that's okay, but we just want to make sure they're making the right decision given all the information about what it is.
But no, I disagree with you. We've got to actually get them all to be economists. We've got to become so passionate, so one-eyed, so myopic that forget science, let science look after themselves. We've just got to worry about economics and get focus on that as being the star. And certainly when I was studying economics in the 70s, if you wanted to get into business, there was only one way you could do it, economics. So for example, when I did my undergraduate degree, there was not one unit of marketing in an economics degree at Melbourne University, Monash University, or Sydney University. Not one unit of marketing. And you could either do an economics degree or you could do a commerce degree. There was no such thing as a business degree from one of the big eight universities. And if you wanted to go into accounting or banking or come and work for the Reserve Bank, you had to do an economics degree or commerce, which was the same thing then. Then all of a sudden in the 90s, we had entrepreneurs. Now in the 70s, if you were an entrepreneur, it was a dirty word. Nobody really wanted to be Bond, Holmes of Court, or Elliot, because they were seen as a bit shifty in those days. But then entrepreneurism increased, and we started having degrees in entrepreneurship at some of the well-known tertiary education institutions. So all of a sudden we had not just economics, you could do something else. Do you think that that defrayed economics, that all of a sudden there was a wider choice and some of those went off into these new, very desirable areas of entrepreneurship that were less desirable in the 70s, but very desirable in the 90s?
Yeah, you can speak.
So I think what you're talking about, I guess, is the business kind of degrees that have evolved over time. And in terms of enrolments, let's say, between economics degrees and business degrees, it is definitely the case that at university, while economics enrolments over the past few decades have basically remained flat, the enrolments in things like commerce, management, banking and finance have increased at a similar rate to enrolments in university in general. And this is also what we see in the Year 12 economics enrolments, in fact. So we have had this decline in economics enrolments, but at the same time, it's almost been mirrored by an increase in business studies. So it's not just happening at the university level, it's also what we see at high school. And again, I think it goes to a few different factors around perceptions. So from the student side in choosing subjects, if I have a perception that business studies is going to be more relevant or easier, then it would seem like an easy choice. But in fact, if we were to broaden that out and see, well, economics is actually quite its own discipline, which is different to business. And business might be, there's a Venn diagram, there is a bit of crossover there, but economics is, like we've talked about, a social science. It goes to the essence of a study of choice that can be applied to so many different areas. Basically, anywhere where choice is an aspect, like whether it's an individual, a societal, or an international level, then economics is part of that. And that's why we see things like environmental economics or health economics or development economics. So again, I think it comes down to a bit of a misunderstanding of what economics is. And what we can then do to raise that awareness of economics, and that might help shift the dial back towards that as being a choice.
So you see a solution then to take it away from the generalists and give it to specific, more social issues to increase interest in economics, rather than say, boy, if you're in business, having a business degree is great, but if you had an economics degree, it would be even better.
I think some of the research that came out from one of our colleagues, GG, on this as well, is that, yeah, you do see that when you're in university, the kinds of people that take on economics would be people who studied economics at high school, or it'd be commerce, or it could be people from STEM as well. And I think that speaks to one way to promote economics is to say, you know, there's some similar concepts in some of these things, but really this is a way to solve complex problems and big problems. Business has its role, so does economics, and I think you need to have both. But I think the teasing apart the differences is important when sort of thinking about what you're going to do. If you want to have a say in some of the big decisions, economics could be the pathway for you or for the students that we're thinking about.
Okay. The lack of economic illiteracy, I am astounded at in our business community and throughout the community as a whole, because it goes to our standard of living, and really that's what government is about. It's about increasing, well, there's a million studies that say if you increase literacy levels, you increase standard of living, you reduce healthcare costs, all through education. It all gets back to education. And I know it secondary school, it's compulsory to study English. Do you think it should be compulsory to study economics?
So my view in this is that economic literacy is incredibly important, and there's many different ways that we can, build economic literacy into the education journey of students. One way is students directly studying economics in year 11 and 12. It can be through economic principles and concepts being taught as part of something like year 9, 10 commerce. And then there's also ways that could be have economics incorporate into other disciplines that every student does. So for example, economics examples used in basic maths in years in high school. There's so many examples where it can be used to basically give a real world concrete example of how maths can be applied. And there's no reason why something like English is any different. I think that one of the benefits of studying economics is that you understand the terminology that is used. So you might be listening to the news, you might hear something like GDP, economic growth.
Yeah, stagflation.
Stagflation, something like that. Even inflation can be something that on the surface you might think, oh, I understand that, but until you've actually learnt the definition, it can be a bit of an abstract concept.
And don't you think that it's so important maybe that our business leaders do understand these things? Because if they're running multi-billion dollar corporations, they do need to have a grasp of stagflation, inflation, and a whole lot of economic terms.
I think economic literacy is important for everyone, whether you're a business leader or anyone in society. I think that if someone is a student and they're wanting to become a CEO or a CFO one day, then studying economics would definitely give them a good toolkit. I think that something else that economics gives is the frameworks for thinking about decision making, and that's obviously important in many areas, including business. And as well as the framework for making the decisions, economics can also give you the way to communicate that.
Of which they're not going to get in some business courses, but they will only get it in economics courses.
Yeah, I mean, I think economics would be the most obvious place you would learn that there. I'm sure you would learn it in business degrees. And actually, a lot of people who do business degrees might do an economics major and things like that. But I think it's still definitely the case that having, that economics can be positioned itself as the default place to go for those kind of things.
I have been rung by a close friend of mine who is the CEO of a public company, and he said, can you help me out? I've got a meeting in the morning with a lot of our young people, and they're going to bring up this thing called quantitative easing. Ross, what's quantitative easing? And so here is a captain of industry. He couldn't explain what quantitative easing was, and he just wanted a 5-minute, course. Economics would have given him that, but his degree was in engineering. He didn't have that. A week later, I was at dinner with he and some other people, and I just thought I'd float one up the flagpole after the first bottle of claret, and I said, what's real wages? Now, 8 people, 2 chairmen, 3 CEOs, and I said, what's real wages? One of them looked me in the eye with immense confidence and said, it's exactly what they get in their pay packet. That's what they get on the 15th of the month to take home. Real wages is basically what they're spending, which it isn't. We all know that. And he felt that. Now, I'm thinking, here we go, economic literacy at the highest level. A lot of people don't understand the most basic terms and concepts of which are being thrust at them by the man on the SBS News for 3 minutes every night. And it's going over their head, because now they're anaesthetised to stagflation, inflation, real wages. They've never learnt it, or no one's helped them with it, or they're too embarrassed to ask about it. And so they just keep on nodding. But that basic economic literacy is so important to them. Whereas they feel if they've done a business course somewhere, or they go and do their 1-year Ripper Harvard Speed MBA, it doesn't give them those economic literacy concepts. But they're running huge companies, they're involved in climate change, they're involved in employment, a whole lot of things, but they don't have the economics, and now that has become almost untrendy. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things in there that I'd pull out. I think the first thing is that, having some basis of economic literacy would help, because you're right, it's everywhere in terms of the news and it's constantly mentioned. I think there's also something to be said for, like, me as an economist thinking about how I communicate these concepts? Because some of these concepts you could explain in simpler terms and make it easier to understand. And I think I try and think about when I'm explaining things, do I need to use all the lingo and the jargon? Can I actually do it in a simpler way? Mm-hmm. I think some of the stuff that the RBA has been involved in now is trying to think about how to have little explainers on our website where we try and break down what's quite hard concepts, but try and think about actually they're really the core of it's quite simple. It's just that we get caught up in the jargon, and so finding ways where we can communicate without using all the lingo and jargon could assist with that. And also might mean, although a lot of people may not think they know what these words are, actually maybe if they understood just the core of it, they go, oh, I do understand that idea, I just didn't know that was the word that was used
to be able to relate to it.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Put their own paradigm in an easy and understand way, rather than getting caught up in the
jargon.
All of these terms.
Yeah.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you two questions. The first question you're going to love because it gets to the core of what we're talking about today. Why are economists society's heroes?
Well, I think if we think about a hero in the usual story of a hero saving the day, it's usually someone who, you know, does something for the greater good. And I think that by being an economist, it doesn't automatically make you a hero, but you can be an economist that uses the tools and the frameworks and the skills that you have to do things that serve the public interest. And basically, this is going to sound like a Miss America speech, but make the world a better place.
So make the world a better place. How do you get that across to people, though? How do you get that across to a young girl or young guy that you can make the world a better place?
Personally, I think it comes down to sharing stories of people who are using economics to do things for the greater good. I know Mike, for example, has talked about his research that he did on blood donations, and I personally, my honours research was looking at gender equality in earnings and the effect of having children on women's wages and their wage growth going forward. There's economists out there that are using very fundamental economics methodologies to look at how do you alleviate poverty, how do you improve education, how do you design a health system that serves the outcomes of the patients. I personally think the stories of people who are doing it really brings to life for students that this is economics and this is how it can be applied.
Do you think there's any slight embarrassment amongst economists to say, I'm an economist?
I don't know about embarrassment, but I do have to say, and this might be coming from the confidence lens, it took me a long time to feel like I could say I'm an economist. Because it is something that doesn't necessarily have a stamp of saying you are now accredited as an economist, like, for example, other disciplines might have a clear role that once you've fulfilled certain accreditations, you become an accountant or you become a doctor. For me with economics, it really felt like I needed to learn from the people who came before me and gain lived experience in economics to feel like I could say, yes, I'm an economist.
Mm. So do you think that comes back to having a degree?
I think for me personally, the degree was the starting point, and then it was gaining experience working in a economics institution that gave me the experience to be able to know really what economics involved as a career and to feel like, yes, I'm an economist.
I always think it's worth saying, and I love saying it, that the most famous economist in the world didn't have a degree in economics, which was Keynes. He had a degree in mathematics.
And I think on that, I think you know, often like we have an economist as a title, but actually a lot of people who do economics aren't economists. And I think it makes it a difficult occupation to talk about sometimes because people are doing things that are economics, but they might have completely different titles. And I think about the people that I went to university with, where they ended up, and a lot of them don't have the title of an economist, but they've moved into areas like in health, or they've moved into areas looking at renewables now, or they're journalists, and all these things. There are areas where you used economics, but they're not actually economists, if you like.
Mike, you haven't answered the question yet, though. Why economists the heroes?
Why are the economists the heroes? Well, I think they have all the potential to be the hero. They could be the hero because they get the ability to be able to make these decisions in about the future. I don't think it guarantees you to be a hero. I think you still have to do the work to make sure that you make the right decisions that are for the greater good.
Okay. Now we get to the last question, which is the Bergenomics test. Now, really, all the things we've been talking about in terms of applicability of economics at grassroots level, this is the core of it. This is applying the common hamburger to the study of economics. And so I'd like you both to answer the question about what the effects on a hamburger would be if too few people studied economics. Where would that end up with our hamburger?
So I think economics is all about allocating stuff, and particularly stuff that's in short supply. It might be time, it might be money. And I think if you don't have enough economists, then you aren't designing things as well as you might be able to. So I think an example of the burger, I think you'd end up in a scenario where you have maybe too many buns, not enough burger patties, or you'd have too many pickles on the bun, not enough sauce. And so basically you end up having burgers that probably aren't what we want them to be. And so I think you need to have more economists so you make better burgers or better decisions for the future, that sort of thing.
Tanya?
Well, I'm going to come at it from the diversity angle. So if we think about, we're walking into the hamburger shop, if you've got one choice of hamburger on the menu, it's just the standard burger with a meat patty and piece of beetroot, some lettuce and some mayo, that's not going to suit everyone. What we want to have is the vegan burger, the fish burger, we need the gluten-free option, and then we can have the standard hamburger there as well, or even the double-decker hamburger for those that are really hungry. So from having a diverse mix of people who are studying economics, have a base in economic literacy that they can take into their lives, this will promote having a full range of menu of public policy options.
A fantastic explanation. Thank you very much for appearing on Bergenomics. I am sure that the younger people that listen to the podcast will be enthused by what you've had to say. It's really important, the study that you've completed, because it exposes something that not a lot of people know, that economics, I'm going to say, is in trouble unless we start to generate some interest and show people how important it is. I'm not quite sure whose role that is, and it would appear that no one's really taking on that challenge of saying, well, it's our role and we really need to get out there to do it. And perhaps economics has been overrun by entrepreneurism in terms of what people feel they want to do or whatever, but someone's got to pick up the research that you've conducted in a really great way, take the responsibility and get more economists. So thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
My thanks to the Reserve Bank of Australia for providing two of their talented economists, Tanya Livermore and Mike Major, to discuss their recent research into the lack of popularity of economics with secondary students. My take-out points from today's podcast were: there is an urgent need to get the message across, not just to young people, but all Australians, that studying economics allows you to help solve a diverse number of global problems, be they climate change, poverty, homelessness, armed conflicts, unemployment, or hunger. Economics isn't just about investment and corporate finances. It's about making the world a better place. Our podcast also identified that women make great economists, but suffer a lack of confidence in pursuing economics as a career. If we are to reverse the dramatic declining output of economists from our education system, we need to increase female participation. This can be achieved by promoting the profile of female economist role models. And lastly, economists use too much jargon, confusing everyone, making them sound elitist, causing most people to switch off to economic news. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Bergenomics podcast and pass it on to others who you think may enjoy the demystification of economics. Please jump on our Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, or Facebook feeds with your opinion. Thanks for listening.